Well, it's not an election year yet for the President of the United States, but so far in 2015, we've heard a lot of head-turning statements from political leaders and other folks in visible positions. Some of them came on this program.
And some may be more true than others. So to sort it all out, we're joined by Jim Tharp, editor of PolitiFact Georgia, which appears in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com. Jim, welcome back. Great to have you.
Good to be here on this very fine autumn afternoon, autumn-like afternoon in the middle of the summer. So
it's nice to get a break from the humidity.
Yeah,
and that's a true statement.
That is true.
Let's start with something Mayor Reed said to the Commerce Club 2 weeks ago when he was talking about the continuing battle between the city and the Peachtree Pine homeless shelter, which the city wants closed. He linked the shelter during that speech to tuberculosis. Yeah, well, tell us exactly what he said, and you know, then how you guys dug into this a little bit.
Yeah, he we're checking a quote from him. He said this, and quote marks, "Peachtree and Pine is one of the leading sites for tuberculosis in the nation." Again, he said that to the Commerce Club on Tuesday, August 11th. Now, as you said, Reed has made no secret of wanting to close down this homeless shelter. Homeless advocates have accused him of a property grab in this and say there's no reason to shut it down. Reed said, "Hey, I have very serious concerns about this place, and now there are these very, very serious health concerns." And again, he called it one of the leading sites for tuberculosis in the nation. Now, we looked at that. We looked at the number of cases they've had there and how those have been transmitted to other states, and we ruled it mostly true. It's a complicated topic. And we can't say for sure that he's right on this, but we think there's an awful lot of smoke there. There have been 30 cases of a medicine or antibiotic-resistant strain of TB in 8 states that have been traced back to that shelter, and it is one of the leading factors in the recent outbreak in tuberculosis cases in shelters in Fulton County. So we think Reed has a very good point there. Again, we ruled it mostly true. We can't say for an absolute certainty that it's one of the leading sites in the nation, but we think that there's a lot of evidence that he's right on target with this.
But aren't homeless folks, I mean, no matter where they seek shelter, just because of what their lives are like, aren't they more at risk for TB than the rest of us to start with? So when you're trying to compare what he says to any other data out there, is it even possible to compare Peachtree Pine to other shelters, even if you're trying to get percentage of cases or anything? Is there even enough data to figure that out?
Yeah, it's very difficult, and that's the problem we had with this fact check. And you're right, Dennis, the homeless are prime candidates for tuberculosis. They typically have greater exposure to cold weather. They're in crowded conditions when they stay in shelters, and they lack proper nutrition and medical care. So that means shelters like Peachtree Pine always have to be vigilant. I mean, these areas could easily become breeding grounds for TB, which is spread person to person through the air and caused by the bacteria that I can't pronounce.
Well, Jim, let's move from Mayor Reed to another major figure here. State House Speaker David Ralston, now he's proposed a bill for next year which he says would protect pastors and other religious officials from being forced to perform same-sex marriages if it conflicted with their beliefs. Now, here's the obvious questions I get. Don't they already have protection in the Freedom of Religion Clause in the First Amendment to the Constitution? But
Go ahead. No, we talked to a lot of scholars across the country who agree with you on that. They said, yeah, there is no reason this bill is needed. They already protect it under the First Amendment. Now, Ralston says in his exact statement that we're checking is this: there is debate among constitutional scholars about whether the First Amendment will continue to protect faith leaders from being forced to perform marriages against their religious beliefs. Now, this obviously comes after the Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex marriage. But again, we check constitutional scholars across the country, and they said there's no reason for this bill. You're already protected under the First Amendment. Ralston says there is a need. There's confusion out there, and if there's confusion, this bill helps clear it up, and it doesn't really hurt anybody. However, we ruled his contention on this mostly false. Again, we don't think there is a big debate among constitutional scholars. We think most agree the First Amendment is there, and it already provides adequate protections.
So maybe the debate is among constitutional scholars that perhaps he knows and and nobody else may be aware of? I'm not sure.
Well, we didn't survey absolutely every constitutional scholar
not,
in
what?
The
what? You're not
country.
Doing your job.
But we did talk to a lot of them, and we talked to people that might be considered conservative and liberal on these various issues, and they seem to come to the same general conclusion. Hey, this is protected by the First Amendment. We don't need additional legislation. Ralston says, yes, we do. The Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage has muddled things. There are people that are confused about this. This clears up the confusion, doesn't hurt anybody. Again, we ruled his contention on that mostly false.
And it's interesting because a few days after he made that statement about there's some doubt among constitutional scholars in the interview with the AJC, I asked him the same First Amendment question in an interview at the Capitol. He didn't go quite as far about doubt among scholars when he answered me at that time.
We have a number of instances in our code where we have clarified and expanded upon rights that are contained in the United States Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. I think it's important that we accept the court's decision as the law of the land. I also think it's important, though, that we make very clear that in Georgia, that we're going to protect in an absolute way the separation of church and state by giving absolute protection to pastors and members of the clergy who might be called upon to engage in actions that run contrary to deeply held religious views.
So, Jim, in this later quote from the speaker, it sounds as if he's moving away from raising the question of some uncertainty about pastoral discretion and talking more about reassuring them about what they might perceive. It's a little different.
That's right, and there was some of that in what we checked here, and this will all, the background or the backdrop to this whole thing will be the whole religious liberty debate that will occur again this year in the legislature, or next year in the legislature. It occurred this year and didn't go very far, but this is going to be the backdrop for it again, we think.
Now, Jim, here's one that we've talked a lot about here on Closer Look and in the WAB newsroom. State officials like Governor Nathan Deal, they say the movie business is great business for Georgia. Okay, that's a fact probably. And this time they put a number on it. The State Department of Economic Development, they say they have some specific data that backs this up. What do you say? What do you have?
Well, the specific fact that we checked, or the specific statement, was film and television productions generated a $6 billion, again, billion with a B, economic impact for Georgia's economy during the most recent fiscal year. Now, this came from the Georgia Department of Economic Development in a press release. We looked at a lot of different stats on this, and one thing is clear. This is a bragging right for the state. I mean, Georgia and Atlanta specifically have become Hollywood South. The film and television industry pumps a lot of money into the state. Nobody is arguing that. However, we think the state took it a little too far. We think they used a multiplier effect on this that makes the impact seem about twice what we think it actually is, or twice what is normally considered to be, using a normal multiplier. We think it's about $3.5 billion. Still a whole lot of money, but not $6 billion. Now, Governor Deal is adamant on this. He, at a recent public event, actually took on PolitiFact and said something to the effect that, I don't care what PolitiFact says, we still generate $6 billion a year. Well, we say you don't. We say it's probably more like $3.5 billion. So we're kind of arguing and splitting billions here. It does have a multi-billion dollar effect on the state, we think. We don't think it's $6 billion. We ruled this one half true. Again, it has a very large impact on the state, but we think the state is exaggerating this as a bragging point.
Do you think they're taking into account the cost of tax breaks that the state gives to these movie production firms?
Well, that's a very good point, and I don't know. Are they subtracting that out? Is that your question? Yeah, that would be very interesting. I don't know if they are or not.
So in the end, it's pretty tough to say, you know, you think the $6 billion is too high, but it's a little tough because of all the complications, including the tax breaks, to say exactly what it is.
That's right. It's a very fuzzy figure, but there are normal multipliers that economists use when they're trying to figure out the overall economic impact of industries on a state. We think the state took that multiplier and doubled up on it. They bragged a little too hard in this case. They have a lot to brag about. We just think they bragged a little too much in this case.
So on that one, the rating was half true.
The rating is half true. Again, their overall point that it has a large impact on the state, we think, is right, but it's a little little bit misleading, and that's what half-true means in PolitiFact jargon. It means that it could be accurate, but it's kind of misleading. In this case, it's accurate that it has a multi-billion dollar effect. It's misleading to say it's $6 billion. We think it's more like $3.5 billion.
Okay, one last dramatic quote in our lineup here. Last month, on Closer Look, we spoke with Megan Nichols of the Centers for Disease Control, who had a warning for people who raise chickens and other poultry or keep them as pets. And as Rose and I both know, there's a lot of folks who do that around here. But here was her warning, in effect: don't cuddle or kiss the birds because you could get salmonella. And she was even more colorful in how she put it on July 16th.
They might appear healthy, but on the surface of their feathers, they often carry salmonella. So it's something that chickens are healthy, they have in their gut, in their intestinal tract. But they have it on those feathers, they have it on their feet, they have it on their beaks. And when you kiss one of those birds, you are potentially kissing those germs.
Now, Jim, we realize this is kind of out of your usual political sphere here, but it deserves some investigating, sir.
Yeah, this one, I first saw this as a meme on Facebook, and I thought it was one of those bad pieces of information that gets passed around on Facebook. I saw this thing, CDC has warned people not to kiss or cuddle their chickens, and I laughed and told one of our reporters we should kind of look at this. Well, we found out the CDC had actually said this, and not only that, they're right. I mean, cuddling or kissing your chickens can spread salmonella. There's very specific information out on that. There was a recent salmonella outbreak that infected 218 people in 41 states. Five of those were in Georgia. Interviews were conducted with 140 of those total people, and 84% reported contact with live poultry in the week before their illnesses began. So you can see there's a direct correlation. And the whole backyard chicken, the farm-to-table movement, whatever you want to call it, has become very popular in the last couple of decades, very popular in metro Atlanta. I had pet chickens when I was a kid, and I'd like to have them for my son at some point in the near future if my wife will concede to that. But I don't think I'm going to let him kiss or cuddle them after reading this.
So this got a true rating?
This got a true. They're absolutely on the money here, and it's we laugh about it and joke, but it's a serious thing.
Oh,
people
absolutely.
Do have chickens around, and you know they're kind of cute, cuddly things, and it's a bad idea for either you or your children to be having too much contact with these. These are farm animals. You know, they're not pets.
So the CDC did better on the truthometer than political leaders in either party, it seems.
That's right, yeah, at least this week. You know, stay tuned.
And you have not smooched a chicken since this warning came out, correct?
I have not, and I got asked this question about my childhood because I did raise some chickens, and I do remember holding them, though, and, you know, kind of cuddling them like you would a kitten or something. So if you get people close to farm animals like this, you can have diseases transmitted, and the CDC issued a pretty serious warning on this.
All right. Well, Jim Tharp has spoken. He's the editor of PolitiFact Georgia, which appears in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on myajc.com. Jim, this was fun. Thanks so much for doing this for us.
Great. Hope to be back soon.
Talk to you soon.